Locked On NBA, the biggest stories, the local experts. Every Monday, we dig into the biggest stories in the NBA with the Locked On Podcast Network hosts. Today, we'll go to the Bay Area to speak with Charles Hamilton of Locked On Warriors, talking about the DeMarcus Cousins situation and the play of a former Warrior, Harrison Barnes, for Team USA. We'll go to San Antonio to speak with Jeff Garcia of Locked On Spurs about DeJounte Murray rehabbing his knee, Derek White for Team USA, and a little bit of a talk about the NBA 2K League. And lastly, we go to Boston to speak with John Corrales, talking about Locked On Live and the post-game recap from Team USA versus Czech Republic and the form and the expectations for Jason Tatum coming out of that game. It's all coming up, the biggest stories with the local experts on Locked On NBA.
You are Locked On the NBA, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome back to another week of Locked On NBA. I am your Monday host, Josh Lloyd. I'm also the host of the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast and the lead analyst at BasketballMonster.com. We're going to be looking back at Team USA's victory over the Czech Republic from a couple of different perspectives, talking about the DeMarcus Cousins situation and a little bit of a chat about the NBA 2K League. So let's get to it. Now I'm joined by the host of the Locked On Warriors podcast, Charles Hamilton, is here. We've got a few things to discuss, Charles. Not much that's happening necessarily Warriors related, but some things over the broader NBA landscape. And we do want to start things off by talking about a former Warrior. Actually, the last game he played, of course, was as a member of the Golden State Warriors. DeMarcus Cousins, things aren't looking great for him. We're not even talking about the ACL injury, of course. A warrant has been issued for his arrest. Can you give us the details of what's actually happening there with DeMarcus Cousins?
Yeah, well, it's an arrest warrant in Alabama, I believe, from an ex-girlfriend of his. And I'm not sure if he's turned himself in yet or what has happened. The history of these things pretty much to me seems like this will end up going away, some sort of settlement or something like that. Similar like we just saw with Luke Walton recently, and any other number of incidences that have happened before, which is too bad. It's just hard to prove in a court of law that there has been domestic violence unless there's a smoking gun out there, which the audio is pretty damning, but is that enough to prove that other things have happened? And it's a tragic situation for everyone involved, and especially DeMarcus Cousins, who it's his fault, but just when you look at the fact, the injuries he's had over the last 2 years, he got married about a week ago, and then I think a day or two after he gets married, the arrest warrant comes out. It's just been a roller coaster for him, and it's been a wild couple years. I mean, it's the kind of thing that, like, if these things happened in a movie, you'd be like, that's unrealistic,
It's been, he got married, and the recording was from the wedding to do with the mother of his child and her allegedly not letting the child attend the wedding. And then the audio seems to purport that Cousins is threatening to shoot the mother of his child, which is obviously a terrible, terrible look. I don't know of any past incidences with Cousins and this lady, but that's obviously terrible. And when he tore his ACL, Charles, I had concerns that he'd ever play in the NBA again. Added this onto it, other past, not necessarily legal indiscretions, but just being petulant and that sort of stuff in locker rooms. I think we've seen the last of DeMarcus Cousins in the NBA.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I'll put it at 50-50 just because we've seen talent outweighs the tolerance is much higher when the talent is higher. But again, who knows how he recovers from the ACL, and all it takes is one team to give him a shot.
Was there any talk of Cousins being a malcontent in the Warriors locker room last season? Because we've heard it obviously in Sacramento. It seemed to be okay with the Pelicans, but was any issues with Cousins in terms of how he got along with his teammates last season?
No, nothing in Golden State. I mean, Steve Kerr mentioned, it was tough some days when he was rehabbing, but I think that's pretty standard with anyone coming back from a year-long, rehab. But again, it was also in the Steve Kerr way of kind of half joking, half serious. And the only thing I saw was there were times where he'd, you know, get the rebound and want to push the break himself, and Draymond and KD and Steph would kind of want the rock. So, I mean, that was like the closest thing to, I don't know, any kind of discontent between any of them. But, you know, when he would do that, it would also result in some good plays too. So they all learned to live with it, but nothing came out as to him being bad in the locker room or on the court or anything like that. He was, as far as we've heard, he was, you know, damn near a perfect citizen for the Warriors last year.
It would be a shame to see his career ruined by injuries. Of course, the legal stuff, if he's in the wrong, then it's his own fault. And he's obviously, yeah, there's no shame involved in that because it's a despicable thing. But let's talk about Team USA, Charles, that did happen over the overnight, over morning, however, whatever time frame you want to talk about. They beat the Czech Republic 88-67. Relatively comfortable with Donovan Mitchell and former Warrior Harrison Barnes leading the way. In scoring 16 points for Mitchell, 14 points for Harrison Barnes. Do you think that final score, you know, a 21-point margin against the Czech Republic, who are boasting one NBA player in Tomas Satoransky, is that a little bit too close for comfort, or did the U.S. just have it under control the whole game?
It felt like they had it under control. I mean, if you want to tell me it was too close for comfort, that's fine, I'll listen. But a win is a win, especially a 21-point win. Yeah. And this team is... You know, it's not, this isn't the dream team or, you know, the teams with KD and Steph and all those guys from a couple years ago, from the Olympics a couple years ago. This is a new young team, and I was fine with it, you know, especially because I'm not exactly sure what to expect from these guys. They're like, there's a chance they could come out and lay an egg in a game. So to see them get a comfortable win, I was good with it.
Anything stand out really in terms of how Team USA played that might be important for when they take on perhaps the stronger teams, Serbia, Spain, maybe France? I'll throw Australia in there because we are the last team to beat the USA. Is anything in there with the way that this game looked that, you know, shows a level of concern at all?
Not concern so much, but I mean the fact you're getting production from Harrison Barnes, which, you know, I think he gets an unfair rap from you know, his finals performance
that's definitely
with the Warriors in 16. But, he gave him 14 points, and to get that from him is big, because I also think you would go down the roster and there's a number of guys you would pick to be, you know, the second leading scorer on the team besides Harrison Barnes. So if they can continue to get production from him while Donovan Mitchell's playing good and efficient, and Kemba Walker as well, like, That's a great sign, honestly.
He also, in true Harrison Barnes style, he had 14 points, one rebound, and zero assist with no defensive
moves. Oh, yeah.
That's true Harrison Barnes style. But USA was a fairly well-rounded performance. Kemba dropped in 13 as well. Jason Tatum had 10. The US went with a starting lineup of Mitchell and Kemba Walker in the backcourt. I think that's going to be pretty standard. Harrison Barnes and Jason Tatum at the forward positions, and Miles Turner starting at center. But we had all of the roster, you know, get minutes, guys off the bench, 18 minutes for Jaylen Brown, 21 minutes for Marcus Smart, 19 for Joe Harris, with Mason Plumlee playing the fewest minutes, just 5 minutes. So they did go without a center for quite a bit of time here. We had 16 minutes from Miles Turner, 19 from Brook Lopez, and just the 5 from Mason Plumlee. So quite a bit of small ball. Is that, do you think, probably the path for them being most successful in this tournament?
I think so. The problem for me is, like, I'm a big proponent of small ball. I obviously covering the Warriors, you know, it's all about small ball. But the only problem is who's their Draymond? Who's their guy playing the 5? Like, they have a lot of threes that can move to the 4, but who's the 4 that can move to the 5 and defend the rim or defend 5s at least average? So that's the only problem with going small, but at the same time, I'm a big proponent of it, so I'm good with it. I think you can outrun and outscore teams going small.
Well, Team USA got more games coming up. The rest of the tournament, lots of interesting stuff happening there. Australia beating Canada yesterday, Serbia with a big win over Angola a couple of days ago. Lots of NBA players. I believe there's 100 players with NBA experience in this tournament, or at least that have been drafted by NBA teams. So quite a lot of NBA talent right across the entirety of the FIBA World Cup. So make sure you're checking that out. Charles, any Warriors-related news, we will have that for us over on Locked On Warriors. Thanks for jumping on Locked On NBA with me.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me.
The NFL season begins next week, which means Crossover Wednesday will be back for the entire regular NFL season. You get a special episode every Wednesday as the hosts from opposing sides meet up to preview the excitement of the games happening that week. Find your favorite team wherever you get your podcasts and be sure not to miss the NFL listeners' favorite segment. Now I'm joined by the host of the Locked On Spurs podcast, Jeff Garcia, is here. We've got a bit to talk about Spurs related and some other interesting stuff for you today. Jeff, welcome to Locked On NBA.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
All right, Jeff, now a couple of things. We'll look at Team USA again from a Spurs perspective because Derek White played a relatively significant role in that game. 14 minutes coming off the bench, 6 points, three assists. Mm-hmm. He's always been the name that when you look at this list, stands out maybe to more of a casual NBA fan. They go, Derek White, who's this guy? Was he on the team? Mm-hmm. But he showed that he belonged in this first game. And 14 minutes is a lot more than I anticipated him to get. Played more than both Brook Lopez and Mason Plumlee as well.
I'm right there with you. As I told you before we even started recording, I was pleasantly surprised that he got 14 minutes. I thought he'd be getting 5, 6, 7 at the most, considering the players that he's playing with. But 14 minutes, 6 points, and talk about his debut for Team USA in a real international game, not an exhibition game, off that bench with a steal and a dunk. He set the tone for Team USA when he came in. And a lot of the stats don't really show what he brings on that court. I've seen it because I cover him since his rookie season. And he brings a lot of the intangibles. He's long. He's deceptively big. He's a big guard. Yeah. And he has a good wingspan on him. His basketball IQ was off the charts. And I think that's a good reason why Popovich liked to have him on. Because with a team that's lacking chemistry right now, and that something needs to be developed, as Popovich has been saying constantly in every media session, even after the Game 1 win, that chemistry is big right now. Why not bring a guy on that court who understands what Popovich wants to see on the court and bring the guys together? I like Derek White on Team USA, and I think he had a fantastic Game 1.
There's always one player or multiple players that participate in international basketball tournaments that really take a step up the following year. We've seen it in the past with DeMarcus Cousins, Derrick Rose, Kenneth Faried parlayed that Team USA invite into a big contract in one big season. But Derek White, to me, is really the name that stands out on this list who's really going to take full advantage of this with his regular season coach that could parlay it into a big season. And I think by this, if we're having this discussion again this time next season, Jeff, a lot more people will know about Derek White. But the other guy that he does have on his team that he does have to deal with in terms of battling for that point guard job or seeing if they can coexist together, DeJounte Murray, missed all of last season with an ACL injury. What's his rehab like? What's he up to at the moment? What are we seeing from DeJounte Murray?
Well, rehab update is he is 100% cleared by the San Antonio Spurs and doctors. So there's no more just 3-on-3 or 1-on-3 or limited practice. He's good to go full throttle, and he's taking advantage of that. He's currently right now in Los Angeles working out with Chris Paul and LeBron James. So he's taking that green light seriously, and he's looking to get back on the Spurs court ASAP. Now, for him to play with LeBron James in the offseason, it's not unusual. He's been doing that since he was a rookie in the league. So, but for him to really, really be focusing on that, bringing in a guy like Chris Paul to help him, another guard, one of the best guards the game has ever seen. So I think this is going to bode well for DeJounte Murray heading into the new season. And just not forget, he hasn't played any type of NBA basketball in close to a year now. So I'm glad he's taking these steps to get better on the court. But let's see how he does once the ball goes up in the air and the regular season starts.
Yeah, he does have a really strong relationship with LeBron James, and we've seen that over time, over these 3 years or 4 years. This will be his fourth season in the NBA. They do have a really strong relationship, and you're working out there.
Well, they're part of that clutch group.
Yes.
So they're both part of the clutch group, Rich Paul's agency.
Yes, so in working out here with these guys, it's going to be massive for him as he tries to get back into NBA game speed coming up. Now, Jeff, one thing I do want to talk to you about, it's not Spurs related at all, but I think that's something that is interesting in this, real NBA dead period of the season. You cover the NBA 2K League. So I've got a couple of minutes left here in this segment. So, you know, what have you learned covering the NBA 2K League as you're in there, you know, really getting into and knowing these guys who are, you know, in professional gamers, which a lot of people don't necessarily understand or know what goes into it?
Yeah, I think the biggest reaction I get is when people find out I cover the NBA 2K League is, oh, just a bunch of kids playing video games. Okay, if you want to break it down to this essence, and that's what it is, but it's a lot larger than I think people don't understand. One, they actually are players for the affiliate team. So, for example, a guy who plays on the Bucks e-gaming squad is actually a player for the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Milwaukee Bucks treat them like they're just Giannis Antetokounmpo as well. They get contracts. They get housing, they get room and board, they get health benefits, they get a pretty sizable contract by the NBA team, and they're also provided physical fitness. They have coaches, and the games themselves, they're intense. I'm fortunate enough that I can go to the NBA 2K League Arena almost on a nightly basis in season, and these guys take it seriously. They're playing for big money. The pool for the championship game in season two was over $300,000. That does not include their own salary, any sponsorship deals they get. Oh, and by the way, all the money they save on free room and boarding and health and et cetera, et cetera. These guys are professional gamers, and I think this is something that you're going to see expand. A birdie told me not to be surprised that a new team is going to enter the 2K League next season, that being the Denver Nuggets. That is the scuttlebutt among the media right now that cover the NBA 2K League. Don't be surprised if the Nuggets announce that. The Charlotte Hornets, they just bought in, and they brought in Venom Gaming. This is something that is getting bigger and bigger each season. There's only a handful of teams, NBA teams, that are not part of this league, and that being the Spurs, the Pelicans, the Bulls, the Clippers, and I'm probably missing somebody else. Oh, the Thunder. And that's it. So as e-gaming grows, the NBA is taking notice, and they're building up the NBA 2K League. They have a draft. They have combines, just like any other NBA team does. And this is something that I think people need to keep an eye on, because this is not going away.
Well, one question for you here, Jeff, that maybe I sound dumb saying this, but okay, so one plays for the Bucks in the 2K League, another plays for the Knicks. Now, do the Bucks players have, do they live in Milwaukee, or can they all just live in the one city when they play each other? Are they in the same room? How is this working?
Yeah, so basically what is this? So, for example, if Josh gets drafted in the NBA 2K League.
I'm not getting drafted by any league, I'm telling you now.
but if you see how much money you'll make, you might want to say, man. Yeah, that doesn't sound like a bad deal. But let's just say Josh gets drafted by the Dallas Mavericks affiliate, Mavs Gaming. You will then have to move to Dallas, live in Dallas during the season, and then all regular season and playoff games have to be in New York City. They have to be there. There's no remote, playoffs. There's no remote regular games where the Dallas team in Dallas stays in Dallas and they play against the Lakers gaming team in Los Angeles. No, all teams physically have to be in one spot. Why? To control it, to make sure there's no cheating. Yep. They have a ref. There's actually a ref that patrols them and hands out technical fouls if they're pushing it too far verbally, if they're not following instructions by the league officials, or in this case, the ref, as far as, hey, the guy called a timeout, you need to zip it. This is a serious thing. And you just look at what happened in the Fortnite competition recently. The kid won, I believe, something like millions of dollars.
I think it was $3 million.
So $3 million. If that doesn't grab your attention, the NBA already has that attention, and they're going to be bringing in teams slowly but surely.
It's interesting, Jeff, that this is developing so much, and it is something that, well, we're in two years down from the NBA 2K League now.
Yeah. Season two just finished. A lot of the players are getting ready for the combine, so a lot of prospects are beefing up for that. Now, it's interesting about the combine is this, and I think this is one of the biggest issues that I've heard from players. is that the combines are not as controlled as the game. So, for example, if Josh wants to be part of the draft pool, you could do the combines from your home. Okay. And that's it. You don't have to go, like the NBA, go to Chicago and do the combine there.
Yeah. Maybe we can get a locked on NBA 2K going. We'll have a speak to we'll have a chat to David later on and see if we can sort it out. We're running out of time here for Locked On NBA, Jeff. So thank you for jumping on and chatting to me about the Spurs and of course the NBA 2K League.
Yeah, not a problem.
Now I'm joined by one of the hosts of the Locked On Celtics podcast, John Corrales, is here to talk about Boston's contribution to Team USA's win over the Czech Republic in the first game of the FIBA World Cup. So many Celtics players on this team, John. You've got plenty to cover and plenty to look at with this squad. But how did the four Celtics guys look in Team USA's victory?
I thought two of them looked fantastic. Kemba Walker looked great and in total control of his game. He's been the one guy, I think, on Team USA that has been the most comfortable and, like I said, complete control, doing basically whatever he wants. And then Jason Tatum, not for the entire game, but especially in that second quarter where Team USA figured out the Czech Republic zone, figured out how to attack it, and Tatum was on the floor for all of that stretch, and he was just sublime. He did everything that Celtics fans have been wanting him to do, shooting threes, attacking, making passes, playing some defense. He had a monster block. I thought those two guys were the best of the four. Smart had a nice contribution. Jaylen Brown filled in some gaps, but it was really those two guys that were the stars.
In terms of these guys, both of those guys, Kemba and Jason Tatum, started for Team USA. They seem, along with Donovan Mitchell, they're going to be the guys carrying the largest offensive load throughout this tournament. Is that how you see it from this Game 1 sample size? Even though Harrison Barnes was the second leading scorer, it just seems that we're going to be getting a lot of Kemba, a lot of Tatum, a lot of Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Harrison Barnes kind of cruised along and picked up a couple of baskets here and there and ultimately ended up getting those 14 points. But I think Tatum has, like I said, in that second quarter, I mean, that explosion was kind of what I think Team USA is hoping for, and maybe what they were hoping for from somebody like Chris Middleton. But Tatum seems to be comfortable. And I mean, from a Celtics perspective, it's great to see him comfortable playing next to Kemba in that way and getting those reps with Kemba. I think Kemba Walker is right now, along with Mitchell, the best player on this team. Again, I go back to just how comfortable and calm and in control he looks. And he might be the one guy on this Team USA that is playing the exact same game that he's going to be playing in the NBA. He hasn't had to adjust his style. He hasn't had to do anything. He's still busting guys with hesitation moves and different change of speed moves and leaving guys in his dust. He's doing everything that he's been doing in the NBA and really doing it, honestly, against lesser competition. So he seems completely confident out there. And if Jason Tatum can keep doing those things that he's been doing, that really, like he did in that second quarter, taking the right shots, not trying to force things, making quick decisions, then I think he has an opportunity to be a big-time contributor, especially as they move into the later rounds against better teams and maybe get more minutes because they don't have to play a ton against the Czech Republic and Turkey and Japan.
Yeah, well, none of these guys played many minutes in this game. Marcus Smart did play 21 minutes. Mitchell played 25, but just 18 for Kemba Walker, 18 for Jason Tatum, 18 for Jaylen Brown, coincidentally all of them playing the same amount of minutes. Kemba, as you mentioned, the second oldest player on this team, I believe, behind Brook Lopez at the age of 29. Lopez is 31. I don't think anyone else is quite at that level, a lot of other younger players. So he is taking that leadership role and really, you know, going to establish himself as one of the best players at this tournament. Of course, there still is Nikola Jokic and Giannis Antetokounmpo playing for Serbia and Greece, who probably have the early stake to that claim. In terms of Jason Tatum, there were criticisms for him last season in terms of shot selection. He took 11 overall field goals here, 5 from 3, 6 from 2. How do you like that? That's probably a better mix for what Tatum's doing, but do you see much changing for him in that regard and becoming more of that efficient shot maker than what he was last season?
I'll tell you what, if he plays every game in the NBA and takes the shots that he took in this game against the Czech Republic, I'll be very happy. I think Boston fans would be very happy. I don't remember any long twos. I'm just kind of going back through the game. I don't remember any of them. He took the threes. The two that he hit were in total in rhythm, stepping into the shot in transition. Those were great, great three-pointers. He attacked. Maybe a couple of times he attacked and maybe was forcing it a little bit. But I would much rather see Jason Tatum try to force it at the rim than shy away and take a long two, a mid-range shot. So those are the types of shots that Tatum should be taking. So I've enjoyed a lot of the kind of evolution of Tatum throughout this entire process. He hasn't seemed to settle on a lot of the bad habits. And I think by virtue of being on a team with so much talent and having those different voices and being encouraged to play this different way, it just all kind of melds together to get him doing the things that he's supposed to be doing. And again, from the Boston perspective, if any of this carries over into the regular season, then I think we can see a real step forward for Jason Tatum, because more threes and more attacking can get him up over 20 points per game for the season.
Yeah, I could see that being the case. We often see players take a big step forward after international tournaments. I think Derek White's one of those guys who's got that opportunity. Tatum could also be that guy, along with Donovan Mitchell, who takes big steps forward. Now, John, just to quickly mention, you and David Locke hosted a post-game show for Locked On Live after this first game of the US's tournament. Went out on pretty much all live streaming situations. Yeah. Periscope, we had it on Facebook Live. So do you want to just give us a bit of a rundown of what we actually did here as a network after this first game in the World Cup?
Yeah, we have this tool now that allows us to broadcast wherever these live broadcasts can happen. Like you said, Periscope and Facebook Live and Twitch. Pick one of those outlets. We're live on all three at the same time. And we figured that because Donovan Mitchell is going to be one of the star players here, to get David Locke, who's obviously the voice of the Jazz, and since we have four Celtics on the team, to have me coming along as one of the co-hosts of the Locked On Celtics podcast, to get together and kind of assess our guys and in the terms of how they performed in this Team USA and in the FIBA World Cup. So we did a half-hour post-game show. Really, really fun to do and in-depth, and we'll be doing them throughout the course of the tournament. So make sure you follow Locked On Live on Twitter, and you'll get the notifications when we're live. If it's not me and David, there's going to be other people that'll pitch in from time to time, but David and I will be doing a majority of those.
Yeah, so go and check out Locked On Live on Facebook, over on Twitter as well, and you can see it broadcast Periscope, Facebook Live, Twitch, all that sort of stuff, as these guys break down these games straight after they happen with a nice post-game show with experts on those players. So, John, it was good to see you on those broadcasts, on those post-game shows, and, of course, good to have you here on Locked On NBA. Thanks for jumping on with me.
You got it, man. Thanks.
And that'll do it for another episode of Locked On NBA. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and subscribing to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. And if you could give us a 5-star rating, that would be unbelievably good. Follow the network at Locked On NBA Net on both Twitter and on Instagram. And check out the Locked On Live game recaps from the FIBA World Cup as well. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.